Let's look into the introduction of our study and see the serious progression and use your mind to recall how Jesus was portrayed. And I want to tell you, these are no exclusive. These are not, they aren't the only pictures of Jesus. There are others, but these are the most obvious pictures of Jesus in this book. In Genesis, in chapter 3 and verse 15, Jesus is what? Remember the title? The seed of the woman, or the son of a woman. Not the son of a woman and a man, but the son of a woman. That's why in Timothy said that women will be blessed having children. In other words, it's through a woman that we have been blessed. And Exodus chapter 12 is very obvious. We use it a lot of times in the Lord's Supper. Jesus is? Exodus 12 is? The Passover lamb, the lamb of God. And recalls in John 1:29 when the cousins see Jesus and he said, behold the lamb of God. In Leviticus chapter 1, all the way to 17, it's very a difficult book to study. You did good work studying in Sunday school. There are two pictures of Jesus. One, he is the sacrifice, remember, and the other is the high priest. And that's why in Hebrews 9, he said these were shadows, things, symbols of the things to come. In the book of Numbers chapter 21, and in verse 9, Jesus is represented by something that Moses did as an act of mercy so that Israel would not perish. And remember what it was? What it was? The serpent was lifted up, and those who look into that metal serpent will save. And then John 3, 14, 15, and 16 recall to us that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so Jesus was lifted up. Now, in our last study in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Jesus was again pictured. And remember what that verse said? Moses is speaking, and Moses said what? A prophet God will raise among your people, he you will hear. And over and over, the New Testament, actually four times, God said, hear him, hear him, hear him. Now, we go into then the topic of our discussion. And the topic of our discussion is always the same. The book of Joshua, and it is relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look in the book of Joshua, and we're going to see the relationship of the book of Joshua to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, before we do that, it's good to see the general information. And we start with the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24 to find in verse 27 and in verse 44 an information that over and over, I repeat to you, but it is good because that gets to you. Luke 24, two people are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, from a plateau of 2,000 feet high to a level of maybe 800 feet high. And they were coming down the hill then and talking, very discouraged for the things that happened at Jerusalem. What do you think that happened at Jerusalem that they were talking about? Christ Jesus was crucified. And it seems to me that these two people were trusting in the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, but to no avail, he was crucified. Now, a person joins them, and that person was Jesus. And they were so much in itself, moving in itself, that they will not really know that Jesus was there. And look at what happened in verse 27. And Jesus is speaking, and the Bible said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. In other words, Jesus did a remarkable teaching about himself through the scriptures in the Old Testament. If you move your eyes to verse 44, then over there you have the word of Jesus in Luke 24. And Jesus said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. So it seems to me that those people were associated with the disciples. That all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, that the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. And the book of Psalms in the Hebrew are not only concealed to the Psalm that you know, but anything that is in poetry form is a Psalm. So the entire Old Testament is about me. Now I want to call you another risk. You are there in Luke. Let's go to John 5. In verse 39, there's another piece of information. Jesus is talking to his scribes, doctors of the law, professors of theology. And then in chapter 5 of the Gospel of John, these are the words of Jesus. He said to them, search the scriptures. And notice the plural over there. Not only one scripture, but in John 5:39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. To the two disciples coming from Jerusalem to Emmaus, he said, sir, the scriptures are concerning me. To these Pharisees, he said, right here in verse 39, the scriptures testify that I'm okay. And my favorite scripture is one more for general information, almost at the end of your Bible, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, page 708, if you are using the Pew Bible, in chapter 10 and in verse 7. Very good scripture. The Bible says about Jesus, then said I, and this is a quotation of Psalm 42, lo, I come in the volume of the book, or some Bible translated correctly, in the volume of the scroll, because there was no book like you and I have today. This is modern Western civilization. There wasn't a scroll. In the volume of the scroll said, it is written of me. And so, we can go to the scripture and find the Lord Jesus. And that's what we have this series. We go to the scriptures and we find the Messiah. We have find the promise. So now let's do our work. Let's go to the specific information and let's really work. Let's take the first set of specific information, Joshua chapter 1 in verse 1. Joshua is right after Deuteronomy, and we take chapter 1. In verse 1, and that's where Joshua really appear, all right? And Joshua, as you remember, was Moses was the lawgiver, and he was like President Bush is to the army and navy. What do they call it? The commander-in-chief. That was Moses. But Joshua was the general in chief on the field. Moses was in his desk commanding, and Joshua was with his shoulder fighting. You got the picture? For 40 years. Now look at what the Bible says about Joshua. Chapter 1, look what the Bible says about Moses and then Joshua. I'm going to read Joshua 1:1 and all the way to verse 3, as you see the set there for the study. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now we call him chief executive officer, but God called him the servant of Jehovah. It came to pass that Jehovah spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, or Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Remember, they were waiting for Moses. He left the people to Mount Nebo. And the people were waiting for Moses. They're used to this. Remember, one day for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses left into Mount Sinai, and that was, he received the law. And now Moses left, and the people are waiting for Moses to come back. Now, verse 2 said, Moses, my servant, is dead. God is speaking to Joshua. And now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now Joshua said, Joshua, wake up, arise, arise. And Christ really did the work. You see the expansion of the gospel. Remember in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were saved after Christ arise from the dead. And so God said to Joshua, Joshua, arise. You're going to do a job. And this job is not going to be tentative. It's not going to be, well, it's a possibility. Wherever you put your foot on it, that is yours. That's God's warranty. Let's go to chapter 5 in verse 13. So Joshua is presenting himself as the man who's working and as a captain in chief of what he's doing, with a guarantee that he is going to become successful. Chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Joshua came to an encounter as he was commanded to take Jericho, came to an encounter with reality. Who is this that is going to be against me? Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I'm now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what said my Lord unto my servant? That was the pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus. He said, Joshua, I'm coming here to help you. And verse 15 said, and the captain of the Lord host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now why Joshua did so? Who told him that the same thing happened to him? Who did? Moses. Remember where he was commanded to take his shoes out in front of the holy place. Where? Yeah, with a burning bush. And so Moses must pass on the experience to Joshua. And now Joshua is leaving that experience out in his hand. So now I want to take you to chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came out. Now remember the cities, how they were built at that time. They were built with walls all around and gates. And those gates were guarded. And now because the people on the top of the world, they saw the nation of Israel all around, they shut up the gates and there was no business. What a picture of our life before we have been saved. Satan has shut off all the gates for us so that we don't go and hear what God has to say, and we were in our own pleasures. Can you describe that wall that Satan built upon your life? And my life was a sport. That was it. No sin, right? No sin is sport. But it was a wall built to me. It was a wall every Sunday I should perform and get glory. That was a wall. Who will say a sport is something? But I was a mama boy, so I finish. I take a taxi, go home. And mama clocked, so he finished the game. In 2 hours, he should be here, you know. He don't want my boy messed with girls and so on. And my mama was right at the door, expecting that at this hour I should be there. But it's still the world. And the church pray for me. You know, but, you know, you're young. And it was innocent. Oh, come on. I get money for my studies. I get money one day I get married. I get this, I get the other. And I can give money to the church anyway. They need it. I told my cousin, don't worry about it. There was a wall. And when you are 17, 18, 19, I tell you, it's well locked. What was your wall? Can you share your wall before? What was the wall that Satan built around your life before you became saved? Can you recall some thoughts? Maybe you never thought about it. But Satan built a wall around you so that you never noticed you were shut up inside. See, that's what happened here. And now come the captain of the Lord. Look at verse 2. This is fantastic. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. In order for Joshua to conquer the city, he had to destroy the king. And in order for God to save you, he had to conquer the king, which is Satan. And he did. The Bible said in Matthew 12 that God came in and Jesus shut him off so that he can take you out of that world. Amazing, amazing. Now, let me read verse 13 to 15 now. Verse 13 to 15 on the same chapter 6. And seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the drawing of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. So they were following God's plan. No Joshua plan. Joshua is a mighty general in chief. He knew how to take a city. He fought for Moses for 40 years. He knew these enemies. He was with Moses in the desert. He knew the Moabites. He knew those people around. He knew how to go. But at this time, God said, Moses, you have to follow my plan. And so Joshua, as a representative of the captain of the Lord, he encountered the Lord Jesus. And now he's followed his instructions as he's going to go into the city with a shut up. Nobody can get into the city. A picture of our life before we were saved. Let's take the second section of words in the study. Now, I read for you Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. I want to read chapter 4 in verse 11 because it's good. And it came to pass when all the people were clean, Passover, the ark of the Lord Passover, and the priests in the presence of the people. Now you study the book of Leviticus, and what is the meaning of the ark of the Lord? What was the meaning that the ark of the Lord Passover? What was the meaning of the ark of the Lord? Who was there? God, the presence of God. And the key is that they will cross the Jordan. But they were careful that before the people crossed the Jordan, the Lord will cross the Jordan with him. I talked to Brother Ortiz. I said, that's the matter. Where you go, be sure the Lord already there. When I came to America, people would say, you're a nut. That's a terrible country. But the Lord was in San Francisco waiting for me. I don't know nobody. I never met the person eye to eye, only by letter. I only hear a word saying, so-and-so, take the white telephone. I never saw a white telephone in my life. He said, take the white telephone, that somebody won't talk to you. And I got to the white telephone, and my good brother Adrian Franken from Holland was there. He said, I'm here at the door. And he was just behind me. And he said, he was looking for a short fellow. He said, oh, I'm here. And I look around, and here he was. And we meet for the first time. And from that time on, I can testify to you that I saw the hand of the Lord in every detail of my life. And that's what happened. The Lord crossed first. You know, they have all kinds of equipment. They have all kinds of things. But Joshua took time. This general took time. The Lord had to be first. And so the ark of the Lord is crossing. Now let's look in verse 12 to 14 on that chapter 4. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel. And Moses spake unto them, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord and to battle for the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of their life. Now, here's a picture of Christ again. It is not that we have a plan and our church has a tremendous dynamic way of saving people. We magnify the Lord. That's our work. We have to magnify the Lord. That's what that verse says. Is that right? That verse 14 said, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua, a picture of Christ. And if our church will, each time the doors are open, each time that we broadcast, we do not have a plan of salvation ourselves. We don't have a method of salvation ourselves. We have only one thing to do. We magnify the Lord. That's our plan. Look at what happened. Verse 16 to 21. Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of their priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place, and flow over all his bank as did before. So you see, God was with them, protecting them, guiding them, and putting them. Joshua became the leader. Joshua became the center. And he was so magnified that when Joshua said, the Lord said, we have to walk seven times. Now imagine, 40,000 men of war with all their artillery and their tanks, and the machine guns ready to go. And Joshua said, put this away. Let's have a song. Praise be to God, and go around. They maybe thought Joshua lost his marbles. But remember what happened? He was magnified in front of the people. You know, when you say to the people, what do your church do for salvation? We just preach the word. They think that we are nuts. You preach the word? Yes, as much as we can. I mean, we use as much as scriptures as we can. That's what I'm familiar that when people come here, they're not familiar with the Bible. So I give the page number because I want you to read the scripture. Because we believe that faith come by hear. And hearing, Pastor Zero? No, hearing the word of God. See, and that's what we want, to magnify Christ as much as we can. And this is what God did. Now, I want to go to the New Testament. This is the third line of a scripture, and show you how these fit together. Let's go to John chapter 6, very famous chapter, in verse 37. Now, in order to do that, as you look in John 6, 37, let me read for you Joshua 1, 3. You look in John 6, 37, and I look in Joshua 1, 3. God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now let's look in John 6 and in verse 37, and look what Jesus said. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You see that? When Jesus is going to save somebody, he's not trying to save somebody. Jesus, when he directs his grace upon the life of somebody, he is not saying, well, let's try to see if this person will take me or not. It's like Joshua. You saw Joshua? Whatever your foot puts on is yours, and whatever the grace of God comes on is God's. Do you see it? Now that some people call sovereign grace, others call electing grace, whatever title you want to give it. One thing I know, that whatever Joshua said this way, that was Joshua's. After he put the foot, that was Joshua. History tells us that whatever Joshua conquered never was retrieved except for the sin of Israel, that they lose it. And you know, whatever Jesus saved is saved. When Jesus zero in the life of somebody, that's it. It's done. Now let's look to Matthew 13. Remember, the parables are there in Matthew 13. And let's look in verse 38. Now, here is the explanation of Jesus about the seed. Let me read verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of a wicked one. And so this is what the feel of the wall is. We were wicked before we were saved. We were children of Satan, locked in the Jericho of Satan, with their teeth grabbing into our life that we cannot go. And God in His mercy has to intervene and has to move into our life and has to work in bind Satan so that God can come in and save His people. Now, a verse that say it all is Hebrews chapter 2. So you can move your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2. And in verse 10, we see the words, the captain of our soul. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 10, the Bible says, "For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." See, Jesus became the captain of our salvation through the suffering of the cross of Calvary. And so, therefore, the specific information is this. Joshua have done a remarkable work as a servant, now is the captain of the host, indwell him, lead him. God gives certain promise to him. Whatever your foot put on is yours. And he used a method never used before, but we're under the instructions of God. And when Jesus came in, they want him to be the political leader of Israel. They want him to liberate Israel from Rome, which he could do, but what do you accomplish? Nothing. Jesus did more. The Israelites never knew that they were in that Jericho of their sins, locked in. And Jesus came in, and he died, and he arose from the dead, and he pressed forward through the power of the Spirit, and 3,000 is saved at one time, 5,000 are saved in the other time, after he arose from the dead. Exactly the picture of Joshua. In Hebrews said, he's the captain of our salvation. Now, here's the conclusion that I want you to see. In Joshua, for example, I want you to see the famous verses that many of you have written these in Bibles and have these in little pictures. Joshua chapter 6, chapter 1, excuse me, verse 6 to 9. Listen to the words of God to Joshua. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong," this is the second time, "and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." See, Joshua cannot do what he wants to do. He only need to do what the book of the law say, according to verse 9. "For the Lord thy God is with thee, whatsoever thou goest." Verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whatsoever thou goest." Now, before we go to Revelation 6, 1 and 2, where there's a picture of Christ going, I want to show you John 6 in verse 29. And remember that God said in Joshua 1, 8, he said, "This book of the law should be the one you meditate day and night." You go by this book, Joshua. And you think that Jesus did what he wanted to here on earth? Look at it in John 6 and in verse 29. Jesus said, "These are the work of God, that ye should believe and the one that he sent." In other words, he commanded the people to do that. And then in chapter 8, verse 29, he said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father had not left me alone, for I do always," what? "Do things that pleases him. Joshua said, Joshua, you are not free. You be the captain, you be the chief, you be the commander, but you have to follow the book. And Jesus was not free either. He had to follow the book and please the Father. That's where at the cross, before the cross, remember there was moment of no hesitation, but of meditation, I call it. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let these cup of wrath pass over me. But then he said, not my will, thy will be done. He had to follow the instruction. And that Joshua had to follow God. Jesus had to follow God. Now let's go to remember that Joshua was the conqueror. And here is what John in Revelation 6 in verse 1 and in verse 2 revealed to us. And I saw, said John, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I hear as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts is saying, come and see. And John said, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth, what? Conquering to conquer. That's the life of Joshua. If you study the book of Joshua, he went on conquering to conquer. A piece of land here, and a piece of land over there, and a piece of land over there. And the Bible said at the end of the book of Joshua that he delivered all the land to the people of Israel. Nothing that what God promised was left. Everything was fulfilled. And you know, it will be a day when Christ brings his church into heaven. And no one that was intended to be saved by God will be lost. All will be there. All because of the captain of our faith, the Lord Jesus. So I thought to myself, now if this is required of God, required of Joshua and required of Jesus, imagine how much is required of us that we do and move our church according to God's plan and not according to our plan. That we preach and teach and do our services just to magnify the Lord. That caught my eyes. When the Bible said that God magnifies Joshua in front of the people so that they can obey him. And if I can magnify in your eyes the Lord Jesus, you will obey him. I thought to myself, that's for me as a pastor. That's for you as a teacher. If you can magnify the Lord Jesus in your Sunday school class, people will, when Jesus says something, people will obey him. And that's our work. We are just a little Joshua's. That we need to, we have a job to do. We have to magnify the Lord Jesus. And when that Lord Jesus is magnified and is pressed upon the life of people, people will respond to Jesus and will whether believe or follow. May God bless us. I will see that the holy story of Joshua, that bloody book, battle after battle, is what Christ has done. He conquered one after the other until one day he died at the cross. He rose again and he arises. And suddenly out of Pentecost, just few days, 41 days after his death, 3,000 come and know the Lord. What a blessed life we have. Our conqueror Joshua is ahead of us. And may God help us to respect him and to magnify him in everything we say and we do. If we do so, we're going to have great results in our life and in the life of our church. Is there any question you have or anything you want to add to it? Remember, Joshua means Jesus, means Savior. That's the Hebrew name for the Latin name, Jesus, Joshua, same name. All right, any addition, subtraction? That you want to have. May God bless us that this week we magnify Jesus with our life. All right? And so that people will see Jesus. I never forgot in the seminary for 7 years a little sign in front of the pulpit when we had to preach. It said, remember, gentlemen, we will see Jesus. I want to see it too. And the professor, Dr. Peterson, signed. Yes, sir. That was the same Joshua, but in Aramaic. The same name Joshua, but in Aramaic. Yeah, Hosha. But that was Aramaic name. And then, see, they got the customs as they move to Egypt. They got the customs, the mixed language. When you move from one nation to the other, look what happened to English, from England to here. I was doing in a treadmill, and I look around, and there were two British working, and the British are very organized. They have their little car, and you have to sign. And here in America, we wait somebody. No, if the sign says half hour, there has to be a half hour. And we were there early in the morning, you know, even though when I was on vacation, at 7 o'clock, I'm there in this spot, moving on. And we're the British. And I look on it, and I think I know this fellow. And I said, sir, I think I know you. You know, you can understand the British when they talk. I said, take your potato out of your mouth and speak clear. And he looked around and said, Gabriel, he said, because that's the way. I said, I saw you 6 years ago. And we enjoyed. But he said, the language is lost in America. And it happened. So the language, they pick up all the languages of the people around. And so then Moses had to put the Hebrew name back, Joshua. This, you know what impressed me also? The servant of the Lord. It's not the Gospel of Mark about Jesus, the son of God, you know, the servant of God, the man of God. Fantastic, all right? You can see Jesus all over. But remember, God said to Joshua, God magnified Joshua, and God magnified Christ in the cross. And that's our job, to magnify him. All right? Somebody else, when they say something. Father, we thank you that we saw in the life of Joshua the presence of God, a picture of what Christ has done for our salvation. He went conquering and conquering until all the land was delivered. And Father, we are thankful for that. We are extremely thankful. And Father, we pray that we may understand that in everything we do and say, Christ need to be magnified. And then the Jerichos will be turned down. Sometimes, Father, we spend time in the details. We have an unbeliever in front of us, and we're trying to find out what's wrong with him. Rather than doing that, help us, oh God, to tell the unbeliever the glorious life and work of Christ and leave the rest to you. Thank you, Father, for the lesson. In Jesus' name, amen.